I'm a big fan of the Dutch team, actually. But I do say I'm cheering for the Dutch national side, as always. But I probably said don't ever bet against the Germans. Because I just pencil them into the semifinals every time. Because no matter, you know, whether they're favored or whether they're supposedly weak, those guys just know how to win some international soccer games. You know what I mean? They got beer, cars, and football down pat.
And the referee blows his whistle this time. Dutch delight, Dutch delirium in Cape Town. They've held on. Holland are going to the World Cup finals.
Welcome back in the zone. Final hour live from Royal Windows and Siding in Royal, Arkansas. We've been telling you for years, he's so much more than a drummer. He is, in fact, a sports genius. Steve Gorman joining us in the zone again on the Rumble Revolution hotline. And your prediction has come true, my friend. You truly are a sports genius.
Always happy to be the first to say, I told you so.
When I offered you the opportunity to come on and gloat, you didn't take long to respond, I noticed. So that was good.
No. I'm a gloater from way back.
Now, we talked about, I said, okay, you're a huge soccer fan. You've got the means, being in your line of work, to fly over to South Africa, and we talked about what a horrendous experience that would be. However, I would have to say that going to the Netherlands and watching World Cup soccer with people from the Netherlands yesterday would have been an awfully good experience.
I had the same thought. I was sitting there watching every time they scored, and they'd show everybody at the Museumplein in Amsterdam. I thought, wow, that would be a good place to be right now. And, you know, nothing against our good friends down in Uruguay, but when they showed that crowd in Montevideo, I didn't have the same thought.
I'm sure of that. So how did you become, because you talked about it there, you were pulling for the Dutch, and I've been following you on Facebook and some of your commentary there. I know you've been pulling for them all the way. How did you become such a big fan of the Orange?
That goes back to the late 70s. I had the first real soccer coach I ever had as a kid playing was, he was a big fan of the Dutch teams of the 70s. When they pretty much invented a new style of play, they called it total football. But the Dutch revolutionized the sport in the 70s. Soccer up until that point, international football, was very much like, in the way basketball is, you have your point guard who's 6 feet tall, you got your shooting guard who's 6'3", you got your small forward 6'6", big guy 6'10", then a center who's 7 feet tall. Soccer was sort of the same way. Everybody, they're by build and by the way they played the game, by position, it was pretty static. You know, you could look at a guy and tell what position he played. And the Dutch came along and sort of made it so that everybody was interchangeable. You know, they called it total football, and they kind of just reinvented a way to approach the game that everybody immediately adopted and did in their own way. So when that was going on, the coach I had at the time up in Kentucky at my high school was a big fan of that. So he just ran the Dutch system down our throats. And so, like I always say, to this day, there's like 30 guys from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, who for no real reason cheer for the Dutch every 4 years.
Steve Gorman joining us in the zone. We were talking with the morning guys who follow soccer even less than we do typically, and it is a little bit confusing for those who don't follow this sport and certainly this country very closely, but you'll hear Dutch and you'll hear Holland and you'll hear the Netherlands all referring to the same, you know, country and the same football team. So what's the deal there, and what do you typically go with?
I just go with Orange.
Okay, and there you go. There's four,
orange,
I guess.
Orange with a J. Get rid of the G and put the J in there, and then everyone knows what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking through here.
And they used to go with, you know, Clockwork Orange as well. It was always what the team was nicknamed.
That's an odd combination there.
It is.
Weird that movie was.
It's an old film, Clockwork Orange. It's just
disturbing.
It at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, have you spent any time over there at all, or is that in the plan?
No,
at all?
I've been in the Netherlands many times. We've played all over the, you know, Amsterdam a million times, and Rotterdam and Nijmegen, a lot of different towns that we've played in. And I've never seen the national side play live. I've been to a game. The big team in Holland, in the club in the league there, is called Ajax, AJAX. That's like the New York Yankees of the Dutch soccer league. And I have seen an Ajax game before, which was a big momentous thing, because it's the kind of place where, you know, they there's no scalpers over there. It's season ticket holders only. You show an ID when you get in. We had to go through so many hoops just to get tickets to a match, but some record company people helped us out. So I have been to one game over in Holland. I've seen a lot of games in England and a lot in Germany, places where it's a little easier to get in.
Was that a harder get than the all access pass at Fenway?
Oh, yeah, that's a piece of cake, man. Come on.
Well, Pat's not here to get mad about that.
I abuse that often just to annoy all the people I know who love the Red Sox, because I sure do.
Well, Pat's not here today, so you can't annoy him today. But since
I didn't already hear him groaning, I figured he must be taking the day off.
Yes, well, he's taking some time off, and frankly, it's good for everyone. So what about today? Well, you expected the Germans to get to the semis, which they have.
Absolutely.
Will they get to the final now?
You know what, man? It's funny. I got up today, and I'm starting to waver. I'm thinking today might just be Spain's day. The Germans have looked amazing. But they are very young, and the pressure, and they've been playing with a lead, and Spain has a tremendous – Spain can score on anybody. And Spain really hasn't put it together yet. They haven't had one of those games in this entire tournament where they look like everyone expects them to look. And I kind of feel like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen today. And if the Germans go down early with such a young team and with such an inexperienced team, I think that it could really turn on them. So – As much as I can't believe I'm saying this, I'm actually picking Spain. And even though Germany, you know, boat raced Argentina, during that match I was thinking, golly, I can't believe Holland's going to have to play Germany in the final. But now I don't know, something about it. And soccer's, you know, at this level especially, it's a crazy game. You know, a game can turn, like if you saw when the Orange beat Brazil, Brazil dominated the first half entirely. And the momentum can switch in an instant in these games, which is why a lot of people can't stand it. But to me, it's part of what makes it so exciting.
No, that's cool. And yesterday, as I sent you the email, I mean, if I could have more games like that where it's, you know, they get all up 3-1 and then they score a goal late to make it somewhat interesting, and you never know what's going to happen again. Plus, there were a bunch of bombs, and I like watching, you know, long kicks go in, and then I go, how can that goalie not have gotten to that? But also, guys getting kicked in the face. If there was more violence in soccer, I think the average American would probably get on board with it a little bit more.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure they would, but and I do want to make a comment, because people love to complain about all the guys that dive and act like they're hurt when they're really not. But the simple fact is, go if you want to see what that's like, just go up, just kick someone in the shin today and see how they react. Just do it, because you know what? Anytime you get kicked in the shin or the knee or the ankle, it really hurts. And
it does.
If you get kicked by a professional soccer player who's trying to kick hard, it really does hurt. They just get up. It's funny, because when you look at – I know it's not like American football where guys are playing with broken necks and stuff, but – but if you see these guys, you know, feet and ankles after a game, it's just solid bruise matter. It's pretty amazing what they put their ankles through.
Yeah, it's like God loaded a lot of extra nerves down there. No, if you take a shot to the ankle or the shin, it definitely smarts. Not to mention the guy kicking you, it probably hurts him a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but if you kick a guy in the face, it doesn't hurt your foot too bad.
That was pretty impressive. That my
it was amazing
there till halftime. You got to give him credit. I mean.
Oh.
The more I watched it, I was amazed that it just didn't. It was like it could have been Tarantino-esque.
You know? Yes.
It could have been a very gruesome display there. Somehow, I don't know. He's got some thick skin.
Yeah, no, it's like in Kill Bill 3, the person that goes around and kills with feet, I think that'd be a good move instead of a samurai sword. But, yeah, and when the still photo that's in the sports page today is pretty amazing, though. Where, I mean, he straight up planted it right in the middle of the dude's face. It's pretty incredible. So just to have the athletic ability to even be able to pull that off is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy game. To people who don't understand it, it might look nuts, but that's what – it's like any sport. Just go try it, and then you kind of get a quick grasp. I mean, I don't really care for those the gymnastics where they have a ribbon and they throw a ball and they juggle jacks or whatever that crap is. But you know what? You don't see me trying it. I mean,
no.
You know, I can appreciate it at least on the level that it's impossible for me to consider.
So when you look at soccer, again, being completely ignorant in this, can you look at it like we do a football or basketball game and say, okay, my team, the Dutch, match up better against Spain or Germany in the final?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, the really crushing thing about the U.S. losing to Ghana was I was absolutely convinced the U.S. would have beaten Uruguay. No question asked, the U.S. would have been in that semifinal against Holland.
Okay.
They would not have beaten Holland. But for the U.S. to have gotten to the semifinal would have been way beyond, I mean, so far past anything they've ever done and what anybody could have hoped for them to do. I think this was their opportunity, and I don't think that chance is going to come up again for years and years. The way the draw worked out, mm-hmm. and the way the team had kind of pulled together in the second two games, this was their chance, and they really blew it.
So what would you have done if they had played the Dutch?
I would have cheered for the U.S. but knowing full well that they weren't going to win the game. I mean, if they were, my son asked me that yesterday. In fact, he was like, "Who would you be cheering for?" I'd absolutely be cheering for the U.S., but I wouldn't have been heartbroken with the loss. I mean, if it came down tight in the game, I mean, I would have been full on cheering for the U.S. No question about it. But you know, going back to the '70s. You know, the U.S. had a couple, you know, there was a guy named Kyle Rote Jr. and a guy named Shep Messing. I mean, the American players of the 70s were not exactly the people you wanted to hang your hat on, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's why we were all looking for a different team. But now, you know, with the team performing like that, yeah, I'd absolutely be pulling for them. But against Holland, it would be, it'd be an easy one because, you know, whichever team advanced, I'd be still cheering for, so.
Well, you make sure to tell your son he's qualified to be a sports talk radio host in Little Rock since we're asking the same types of questions. There are a lot of children out there that think exactly as I do, though, so we've got that in common.
Listen, man, it's important that you never lose touch with the little boy you once were.
I still am the little boy I once were, so that's the only problem for me.
I was trying to come up with a nice way of telling you might want to try to grow up. But
well, you know, I'm a short little person, and I'm very immature, so I got a lot of problems. But the other big sports story going on in South Africa, in addition to the World Cup right now, is this whole Caster Semenya deal. And I don't know if you talked about it on the podcast or not, but after 11 months, it took 11 months to decide if this person was a he, a she, a he, she, and or whatever, and whether or not she was going to be allowed to race, which after 11 months they've decided that, yes, she can start running again competitively immediately. Really weird deal. Do you have any insight on this deal?
I have no insight on it. That's one of those that I just try to avoid at all costs because all I can think is, I mean, I take it right. I see stories like that, and I immediately go to the fact that I'm a parent, and you know, I'm just like, I'm just glad that's not my kid.
You know what? You're so thoughtful. See, again, you're better than me in so many ways because immediately when I see a story where they're not sure the gender of the participant,
right,
I automatically know we're going to spend a good hour on it. The problem is that most of our listeners are immature as well, and so I know we can kill a good hour with a story like that. But
well, so yeah. what's the consensus down there? You know, let her run no matter what they come up with? Or
yeah, I was cool with that.
You guys go straight to the simply tug down her shorts and figure it out for yourself.
You have to admit, though, it is amazing that it's taken 11 months to determine, A, whether she's a chick, and B, whether or not they're going to let her run.
Well, yeah, the wheels of international track and field justice obviously grind pretty slowly along.
There is that.
I don't even know. You know, seriously, that story is so bizarre. I haven't even given it a second of thought because, you know, and the truth is, like, it is, you know, you do see the pictures of her when she's running and you think that's going back. That looks like an East German swimmer from 1971.
Exactly.
I mean, that,
exactly.
You know. The shoulders, my God! I wouldn't give.
I know, I know. Yeah, no, that woman is physically gifted for sure.
She is, and has paid quite a price for it. I mean, you know, God bless her, man. 11 months of just knowing that the world's going, well, what is she? I mean, what mm-hmm. a bizarre thing.
Not a lot of fun, I'm sure, for that.
No.
Okay, so let me ask you this. There's the old phrase, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. If the Dutch get to the finals again and lose, would that be more disappointing than not getting there at all? What would you how are you feeling about this? Are you optimistic that they can get the job done and close it out this time?
Oh, yeah, no, they're going to close it out. This is
okay.
Their year. I mean, it's just I've felt that since the tournament started. Even while saying they're not playing their best, they haven't, you know, every game that, you know, they haven't had a decisive, you know, 3-0 victory or anything that just established them as the dominant team, but they've just done the little things, and plus they've just got luck on their side, which, you know, like they say, when it comes crunch time, you know, luck beats being good a lot. You know, better to be lucky than good. They just
right.
need to have that. There's oftentimes there's just a team that for whatever reason you just sense it's finally their time. I mean, the crazy thing about the World Cup is only 7 countries have ever won a World Cup. You know, Brazil's got 5, Italy's got 4, Germany's got 3. You know, Uruguay actually has 2, and then you got, I mean, France and England both have 1 each. England invented the sport. They've only got 1 World Cup. You know, the Dutch are the greatest, they're easily the best footballing nation never to have won it, and it just okay. seems like it's finally their time to cash it in. They were in 2 finals in the 70s and lost both times against the host nation. So, you know, they were two different times they were favored to win, but they happened to be playing, you know, they played Germany in Germany. They played Argentina in Argentina. Pretty tough to overcome that when it's a World Cup final. And then I think, you know, it's weird because the Dutch are who originally settled South Africa. And so in a weird way, a lot of people were saying, well, that's as close to a home field advantage as anybody's going to have down there. There's just a lot of Dutch ancestry in the area. So, you know, maybe that's playing into it. But I just think it's their time. But to answer your question, oh, I'll be devastated. But no, better to get there. You know, definitely better to get in than lose the match than not to. You know, and it's different, too, because in terms of international soccer, you know, they still play a third and fourth place game. They still, you know, there's a game Saturday, and that does matter. I mean, people do look at those records as who came in third, who came in fourth. Hmm. It's not near, I mean, because everybody who follows soccer knows the Dutch were in the final twice and lost. It's not like they forget who did Germany beat in 74. Everybody knows who they beat.
Right.
So that's something that separates it from a lot of American sports, too. I mean, I don't remember, I don't remember who lost the World Series in November. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I'm with you on that most of the time. And that's how Americans are, though. You're right. They don't value that. So,
yeah,
so the Ricky Bobby theory.
There is that. I mean, just getting to the final, it's not in any way as good as, you know, that's not the end of it. I'm not trying to say that. But it's significant, and people do absolutely know. So it's always better to get in.
Okay. Well, for your sake, I hope they win on Sunday.
And that's clearly a sports fan. I mean, I'm not from Buffalo. So, you know, you might get a different opinion from somebody up there.
Yeah, but we don't talk to people from Buffalo if we can help it.
That's a wise state position to hold.
What are you going to do when the World Cup's over? Will you have like a period of grieving?
Yeah, no, seriously, it's like every 4 years the circus comes to town for a month and then they leave without me. It's horrible. It's the worst. There was 2 days last week without matches. You know, there's games every day for like two and a half weeks. And then on Wednesday and Thursday of last week, for the first time, there wasn't a game at 6:30 in the morning, and I didn't have any idea what to do with myself.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. You could rest up. That's what somebody suggested.
Well, that's what it is. You just gear up, and then the next game means even that much more. So
There's that. Yeah, what's the proper thing to eat and drink when you're watching World Cup games?
I can't. I'm just too focused, man.
Wow.
There's no. See, again, it's so anti-American on certain in a certain sense.
Yeah, I like
culturally
I kinda
speaking,
dig that.
I don't even think of it in those terms. I just the last thing I'm doing is looking for some nachos or a chili dog or something.
Okay, well, I'm going to adopt a team the next time it rolls around in 4 years, and I'm going to follow them, and I'm going to really get into this. I got a little more. We've done more soccer talk in this segment and then the last time we had you on than I've done in my entire life combined up to this
Beautiful.
Point. So I'm coming around slowly.
Well, you know what? In all seriousness, this is an interesting thing because. You know, 20 years ago, the Americans made the World Cup in 1990 and were terrible. And I mean, back then, I mean, they were 40 years behind the European clubs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in those 20 years, they've made up that gap. They're a couple years back. I mean, they're a top 20 team in the world right now. The U.S. is legitimately and. To go from being so far away in 20 years, they've made up a tremendous amount of ground. And, you know, it was a disappointing loss this year, but I think plus that's 20 more years of every kid playing soccer in this country. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that beats the drum. Like we've got to grow soccer in America. Cause I mean, thanks to satellite TV, I don't care anymore. You know, I can watch games from all over the world and I'm happy.
Right.
So, but it's just inevitable though. It is just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And if the U.S. had made the semifinal this year, I think it would have gone a long way towards helping the MLS and helping the sport grow. And they didn't, but you know, that's all right. Another 4 years, we'll see where we are. But I will say that it's been, it's an amazing thing to look back at just how crummy they were in 1990. And then to be right in the thick of it this time around and, you know, go to extra time in the knockout round. I mean, they, you know, big improvement.
So, what's going on with the band before we let you go? You guys back out on the road again?
We are soon to be. We've got a couple weekend. We got another weekend here in July. Last weekend of the month, we're playing some shows, and then mid August we start with the actual full on tour, and that's going to go through. Right now, we're going till about December 20th. We know is all booked out, and this is like the. This is our 20th anniversary tour. 20 years ago, our first album had come out, and so we're going out and we're doing two sets a night in most markets. You know, an acoustic set, an electric set, playing for about 3 hours a night, and it's going to be a big deal. We're playing a lot of the, you know, we're playing all the songs everybody's most familiar with. We'll play them all every night. We'll do a lot of different things. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's very cool. Well, I'm going to have to try to catch one of those along the way. But, man, appreciate it all along the way, and congratulations again for the great predicting. I'm very impressed, even more so than before.
Well, you know, I'm no German octopus, but I'm doing my best.
All right, Steve, I appreciate it, man. We'll be in touch soon, and we are definitely going to work. As soon as it's over, as soon as the World Cup's over, we are going to work towards getting the podcast up on the air.
Itself. Oh yeah, no,
we're going to find a magical slot for Steve Gorman Sports on the Buzz.
Beautiful. And by the way, kudos to whoever edited that intro piece. That was some fine work there.
That's Freaky Joe Franklin, my man. You put great music with great predictions and great highlights together. It's a can't miss proposition.
Yeah, Freaky Joe's on it. He brought his A game. It makes me proud.
No, I appreciate it, Steve.
All right. You guys take care.